Welcome to Haunted Hospitality, Southern Stories Told by Spooky Gingers. I'm Robin.
And I'm Zoe. And I have a story for you guys today. But first, Robin, how's life?
Oh, I'm doing swimmingly, thank you for asking. I have a hot tip for all redheads out there who want blonde highlights. So, everybody, I tried to have rose gold highlights for the second time in my life about a month ago. Or 2 months ago. Time is weird. Time is flying by. And at the same time, standing still. But I got rose gold highlights, and let me tell you, it seems like the pink went out pretty quickly, but I do think that it's staying there more so relative than if you were getting blonde highlights. And everybody, if you were getting blonde highlights and you have red hair, it can have a stark standout difference. So I'm just saying, perhaps maybe the thing, if you want blonde highlights this summer and you don't want to go out in the sun, get rose gold highlights, it'll fade.
Okay.
But like to a doable degree.
Okay.
All right, that's my hot tip.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. How are you?
I'm good. I just sent out the save the dates for my wedding.
That's exciting.
Yes, and I have event insurance for my wedding now. And
is that a thing?
It's apparently a thing. And it was required by the venue. That's the only reason I got it. And luckily, because there's not going to be any alcohol at my wedding, I got a discount. So, but I'm actually like really excited because I think I was sitting there and I wasn't doing nearly enough to plan for my wedding, and I have a countdown. There it is.
Something is down. We just don't know what.
I have a countdown on my phone, and I kept seeing the number getting smaller and smaller and seeing that we hadn't done anything on our list yet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we need to do this. So, yeah, we got the save the dates out yesterday. We have everyone's emails now. We have our guest list finalized.
I haven't RSVP'd yet.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm just seeing if anything better comes up that day.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I'll hit RSVP real soon.
but I did something pretty clever, I think. So when
I don't know why I'm inclined to laugh. I'm so sorry. I'm just being so rude to you right now.
I know. I'm used to it.
Okay.
So my family has a history of being rather informal to formal events, just because that's their personality. So I put in the... I'm using this website to track my RSVPs. And in it, you can have, like, follow-up questions. And so if somebody says that they are RSVPing to my wedding, it asks them a follow-up question. And it asks, do you promise not to wear jeans? And there are two options.
Uh-huh.
There's yes... And then there's yes. And you have to select one before you can move on.
Okay, so this is specifically angled at your family.
Yes, 100%. Okay. Because I'm so tired. Like, oh my God, my aunt had a wedding in 2003. And this still bothers me. 2013, sorry.
I was about to say something happened in 2003 that still bothers you. Do you even remember it?
2013 still bothers me to this day. It was a very formal wedding. In the church, whole nine yards, people still showed up in jeans. And I'm like, excuse me. Jeans is okay for like a backyard wedding, okay?
I argue that it isn't necessarily unless the invite says specifically so.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But like, just wearing, I mean, they were kind of like, they weren't at least like mud-soaked jeans. They were nicer jeans.
They were clean.
They were clean. And but it's like, don't wear jeans to a wedding.
So what you're saying is I can wear them if they're dark wash. Okay, thank
you.
No.
Well, Robin, you have a very specific thing that you have to wear to my wedding as a bridesmaid.
Woo!
Yes.
I'm very excited. Oh, you have to show me the dress so I can figure out how to coordinate.
Yes. And now that I say that out loud, that means that before this episode
you
comes out, I have to tell Brittany. Brittany, I'm going to make sure that you're not going to find out on this podcast.
What if, like, you just totally forget and she listens and she's like, oh, that's exciting.
Actually, you know what? Let's do
it
this
way. I really think you should do that, yeah.
Brittany, you're my bridesmaid.
Should I just text her to, like, listen to this one? I think she's behind, which is fine.
Okay, yeah. Then tell her to listen to this one.
Okay, I will.
Okay. All right. Well, Robin, do you have something?
Oh, I do. I do. I do. I do. I do. I do. I do.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say in a few months.
I do. I do. I do. At least say it exactly like that. Like, high-pitched everything. I do. I do. I do. Okie dokie. Okay, I'm calling this our... This is a stupid title. I'm calling this our Something Southern quiz show about our show.
Okay.
So, the title is misleading.
If you're going to ask me which states we've covered...
No. It's not trivia.
Okay.
It's a reflection.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm going to ask you 6 questions, okay. And I'm going to answer them, too, for myself.
Okay.
And it is just, like, your thoughts on things we've covered and episodes we've had.
I am opening up Buzzsprout.
Yeah,
now.
Please look at all of them, because I had to, like, reference all of our episodes, because I'm like, what have we talked about? while I put my answers in here. So, like, feel free to, like, you know, just take your time to think about some things. There is a rule.
Okay.
We are not allowed, because I feel like whenever we talk about our episodes and, like, our thoughts on them, we each have our same ones that come up again and again.
Uh-huh.
We are not allowed to answer Haunting of Poplar Hill, Lizard Man.
Darn.
Biltmore Estate or King's Tavern.
Okay.
These are the ones that we like to bring up a lot.
Yes.
We're not allowed to bring these up.
Okay.
My first question is, so we've asked these before.
Okay.
Well, to an extent before, but we have a lot more episodes now.
Yes.
So, what is the spooky location we've covered that you most want to visit? And it could be like, because it's spooky, or it could be because you want to visit it, and you have to give why, by the way. We can't just say things out loud.
Okay. Can it be Disney World because I want to go to Disney World?
Yes. Yes, it can. Is it Disney World because you want to go to Disney World?
Let me go through the rest of them.
I'm sorry, Freddie. I did spring this on her. Brittany, you're a bridesmaid, in case you can't tell.
Okay. I have one.
Okay. What is it?
The Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I feel like that is a good place to go to do a haunted ghost tour,
mm-hmm.
where not necessarily a million people are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think regardless of if there's ghosts there or not, it's going to give you a creepy feeling. And it will be a great photo session.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I almost put like a... Or maybe I did put that. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what I... Never mind. I'm not even going to reference what I was just saying. Okay. Do you want to know my answers?
Yes.
I had 2 because I cheated.
You cheater!
Maybe I can tell you the 2 and then I can pick one of them.
Okay.
One was the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Okay.
And the other one was a Crescent Hotel, both of which you covered. So, okay. It was like... the lighthouse, I think, was going to win out.
Mm-hmm.
Except I really want to go to that, like, one thing at the bottom of the Crescent Hotel. Wasn't it, like, a little...
The morgue?
Yeah, but like a little closet in there.
There's the freezer, the body freezer.
Oh, you know what? Now that you say it, I realize how morbid that is. I want to go to the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
No, let's do the Crescent Hotel. That way you can bring me.
We all have different answers. We're going to do the St. Augustine Lighthouse. Okay, so that was our question number 1.
Uh-huh.
Next question is, what is the location we've covered you least want to visit?
Ooh, okay.
And it's a spooky location.
Okay.
All of these, as I answered them, really had to do with the spooky things.
Okay.
Because I feel like the true crime is not the right thing to do with this quiz about.
I was going to say the assassination thing, but just because that's history.
Let's just focus on the spooky things.
Just the
Sorry.
Spooky things.
Yes. I should have had the caveat.
The one I least want to go to.
Yeah. And there could be because, 1, you think it's boring, or 2, it's dangerous.
Okay.
Or anything else. You could just be like, nah.
Why don't you tell us yours while I'm looking?
Oh, that's a smart use of our time. Okay, so I at first thought... Okay, how about this? I know what my answer should be, but that's not my answer. My answer should be the least place I want to visit is Lake Lanier. Because...
Yeah.
People drown there. However, I honestly, truly want to just, like, kind of... I don't want to swim there.
No.
But I do kind of, like, just want to, like... walk by and, like, see the vibe of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, the place that I would least want to visit is the LaLaurie Mansion, because I would get too sad.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, I would simply get too sad about it.
Yeah, that's... Oh, found a clear winner, if this counts. The Forest Clown episode, that singular house in the woods that they were going to try to lead the children to.
You remember that?
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah, okay, so the Forest Clown, That one is, like, a hard-to-define episode about where I kind of think of it as true crime just because it was, like, real people pretending, like, right. being clowns. But I do think that there's, like, definitely a...
Spooky element to it.
Spooky element to it. And so, yeah, actually, The Clown House in the Woods. That's a really good one, Zoe.
Thank you.
So, congratulations. Also, like, I feel like that's a deep cut, so, like, good job remembering that.
I listen to you.
Thank you. You listen to me twice. So,
that's true.
So, what episode topic of yours was the most interesting to research?
Specifically spooky.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Or spooky or mystery. How about that?
Spooky or mystery. Okay.
Yeah, because there are some things here that are like...
Aw, hey, you.
Hey. We had a cat come in and show her belly. We had to break off the conversation.
So, I'm sorry, what was the adjective you used again? In reference to the research?
Most interesting.
Most interesting to do the research. Okay. I was thinking most frustrating in my brain.
No. That's a different thing. Interesting. It's kind of the opposite thing for research. Well, not exactly the most opposite. I feel like, depending on how you approach it.
I think the black-eyed children, that was probably the one that was the...
I'm not asking about the easiest.
I mean, like, the easiest to research because I was so, like, I wanted more kind of situation.
That's good. That's really good. Black Eyed Children, such a good episode. I came up with three, and I'm going to try to narrow it down as I'm going to narrow it down as I'm speaking. So one of them is The Old House Woods.
Okay.
And this is because once you kind of got a little bit below the surface, the stories get really, really really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're talking about, like, details about flying ships, which, like, I'm not saying, like, yeah, they were flying ships. I'm saying the stories about the flying ships were good.
Yeah.
And you got, like, that guy who swore up and down that, like, I think a coffin lifted into the air and was moving like it was bouncing on people's shoulders, but like the movement of people's shoulders was going with it.
And then later he saw the coffin come off the Fisher boat.
Yeah, like foretelling floating coffins.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a weird space.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed reading those because I think I did not expect it to go off the beaten path as much as it did. Also Lake Lanier, because there were a lot of facets to that story.
Right.
Like, honestly,
like true crime histories, paranormal.
Yeah, there was just a lot about that lake.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to see all those layers to it. And then the other one that I put for interesting is the Serenity Haunting, because I had never seen, like, written accounts of a haunting that was that old. And because the pig thing weirded me out. Okay, I'm going to say the most interesting to research. Old House Woods.
Okay.
The Old House Woods. I probably know that story best because I have told it twice. We had to repeat the tellings.
Yes.
That was the one time. I think it's a miracle we've only had to repeat tellings once.
Yeah.
Each.
Well, yeah, but that was just because we told two stories in one sitting.
Yes. Yes. All right, next question, Zoe. This is... Okay, this is not exactly about the research, though I think it involves your experience of it.
Okay.
So it is, what episode topic surprised you the most? As in, what was most different once you researched and found out about it than what you went into expecting it? Or it could also be like if you knew a little bit of something that I was telling you and then it turned out to be completely different.
Easy answer, Laurie. The LaLaurie Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I heard it on another podcast and the person who told the story only did the research of the haunted part of it, not like the true crime part of it. I mean, they delved into the true crime because you can't really mention all the ghosts there without talking about what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do the research. Well, no, they did the research... You know how when I told the story, I was like, hey, letting you know up front the really, really bad things that supposedly happened to these enslaved people, there's a good chance it wasn't actually this, like, body horror. This was added like 30, 40 years later, mm-hmm. when I listened to it on the podcast before, that was like a footnote. Like, they told the whole story and then said, oh, by the way, there's some people saying that it might not have been that bad.
Gotcha.
So when I was doing the research myself, I was expecting to see that and worse, mm-hmm. and for most people to agree that that actually happened. But when I was actually doing the research, I realized most people say, no, it wasn't that intense.
Like, it was still a really awful situation, but it had been greatly, like...
exaggerated.
The gore of it. Yes, had been exaggerated over time.
And to the point where it was a little bit disrespectful, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
And not disrespectful of that podcaster, but the person who started the rumors that it was more gory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People love to exaggerate old stories of, like, yeah. violence. Okay.
But anyway, what's your answer?
So I had written down three, but I'm not going to do the thing where I talk through them all because I actually have narrowed it down for myself.
Okay.
In the thinking. So the one that surprised me the most is the Lost Colony of Roanoke.
Okay.
Because, everybody has, like, put it up there as, like, an unknowable mystery. Everybody was like, here's, like, the theories. And, I mean, there's a few. I'm probably missing some. I can reference my notes later. I don't know. But, like, the theory is, okay, did they get killed by Native Americans? Did they join up with the Native Americans? Did aliens get them? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did they spontaneously disappear? Did they all just die out, and then what happened with their bones? I don't know. But really, if you go back, like, if you dig in a little bit, and I'm not even talking about, like, a heavy dig in, I'm just talking about, like, if you actually look up factual things about it that are not, like, the goal is not to explore the mysteries of what happened, but is actually, like, oh, hey, this probably happened.
Right.
Because everybody's talking about, like, that word Croatoan on the tree. I think it was a wood post outside yeah. of the camp, or like leading into the camp. Everybody's saying, like, oh, what does that word mean? Well, Croatoan was an island that was or it was either an island
or the people
I think it was the people of the island. I think it was like a Native American tribe, an island that was, I think, 50 miles south or something of it, who they had had a previous relationship with, and they had already had a system to, if they needed to leave, because they knew this guy who was their leader was leaving to get provisions and was going to come back, and they had had a system where, hey, guys, if you need to leave, write in this post where you're going.
Right.
And they did. Yeah. And there were just so many weird storms that led this guy not to be able to contact those people ever again. And then he's, like, the person who's passing on the written record of it. And so I think he even knew, like, hey, they're probably on this island. But everybody in history has kind of been like, ooh, what's that word mean?
Mystery.
When, like, it's actually very cut and dry. They were probably fine. They just integrated into this group of people, okay? Yeah. That's what happened.
Yes.
Next question I have for you. And this is 5 of 6.
Okay.
What are two topics you really wish we could cover, but that aren't Southern? And so these could be either things we cover in our Something Spooky, or our Patreon, or, of course, both, which I think is actually a really good idea, so we can kind of get a little bit of both in each.
Right. Man, there's so many cases.
Yeah.
Winchester House. I would say the Winchester House.
Really? Okay.
I love everything about the Winchester House.
Okay.
It's such a... Oh, my God. Well, okay, you know I'm in real estate, and my mom was in real estate, and...
You come from a long line of real estate.
Yes, a long line of two, including myself. I just... Man, I want to go to the Winchester House one day. Like, mm-hmm. I looked up... So, I'm really bad at geography. We've established
I'm
this.
I'm aware.
Kari and I are going to Vegas for our... honeymoon, and our honeymoon. Why are you looking at me?
You
like
called it a honeymoon.
I said it wrong. Okay.
I was like, do you mean haunting moon? But that doesn't make sense either. Was that a pun?
No, I just said it weird. But yes, we're going to Vegas for our honeymoon, and I keep thinking that Vegas is in California.
It's not.
It's not. And so I'm like, oh, while we're there, we can go to the Winchester Mystery House. And then, like, I googled how long it would take to get to the Winchester Mystery. And it was like 6 hours or something like that. I think it might have been three. But yeah, I really want to cover that.
Okay. Okay, cool. I asked for two topics.
Oh, sorry.
While you're thinking, do you want me to answer? And then you can spend a little bit of time thinking.
Yeah.
I have two. They're both spookies. One of, and I kind of want to cover them for similar reasons. So one of them is Amityville Horror House. Mm-hmm. I did like a something spooky on this one. But I really want the opportunity to kind of go into it more because this is one of the ones that Ed and Lorraine Warren did. And there's obviously, I think if you know a lot about it, it's like one of those things that's been like hyped up a lot, but like also debunked so much. Right. And I kind of want to cover it just to like sink my teeth into the complexities of that. I think it'd be a very interesting topic to research, and it would be kind of a bridge into going into Ed and Lorraine Warren and kind of who they are. Spoiler alert, I really don't believe in anything they do.
Right.
But I really think researching it would be very interesting. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my second place of choice would be the Sally House. And so I have been interested in that one for a long time. So it, you know, it was like one of the first, in one of the first BuzzFeed Unsolved episodes, I like went to it. And so I've been like kind of, it'd been like in the back of my mind as like a really scary place for a long time. And then I also heard, I believe, a Real Life Ghost Stories episode on the Sally House, but it kind of delved into, if I'm matching up the episodes in my mind correctly, it delved into like how it was, you know, possibly, you know, not quite as truly demonic as it was being positioned to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a very, another, not the similar, I mean, well, I mean, similar in cases, like it's both a spooky house that I'm thinking might not be incredibly spooky, but I'm interested in it for the similar fashion of like just diving into things. I kind of like doing research on things where there's some figuring out I have to do, in case you can't tell that. I like trying to figure out things.
Okay. I thought of my second one.
Okay.
So I had to Google his name really quietly because I remember like the situation, but I didn't remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in Chicago. And have you ever heard of the murder castle of H.H. Holmes?
No.
Oh my God. H.H. Holmes is this rich man who owned a hotel in Chicago, and like he built in murder rooms to this hotel, and like he was killing women, he was killing children.
Serious?
Yes. And it's like everybody's like, well, who, how many people did he actually kill? You can't really say. And like he had like multiple wives or something, like not at the same time. I don't think at the same time. I don't know, but he was like, he had a lot of kids and he was like pawning them off at on different women. And like, oh my gosh, it's such, I mean, I listened to a podcast about it probably a year and a half ago now, so I might be getting details mixed up. But that's one of those ones where it's like, I know a very like surface level of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's one of those, if I just dig a little bit deeper, a lot more will come into light. And
yeah, it sounds like it.
This is from the 1890s.
Okay, so that makes a little bit more sense, because in my head I was like, how do you actually, like, you need permits and blueprints and stuff. How do you actually go about, like, putting murder rooms in?
Yeah.
So that kind of makes a little bit more sense.
And I think there's a lot of, like, travel to Canada and, like, over the border. And he's, like, 100% one of those, like, stereotypical, like, cold but still charismatic murderers where it's, like, oh, he can get any woman he wants, and then he doesn't bat a single eye at murdering them fiercely.
Gotcha.
Like, he had one room where you literally just suffocate to death.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would love to just dig deeper into that, and that one would probably be another two-parter, because
there would probably be a lot there, yeah.
Well, that, and a lot of people think that the hotel is haunted now.
Is it still up?
I don't know, but I do believe that at the very least, there is another hotel on the grounds.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, okay. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah.
Okay, now, this is the biggest question.
Okay.
Finally, what episode, other than Poplar Hill, Lizard Man, Biltmore, or King's Tavern, is your favorite episode so far?
Mmm. I feel like this one's cheating a little bit because it's a fairly recent episode.
That's fine. What is
it? Okay. The Wrong Child.
Really?
Okay. That one was just so, like, ooh, you know?
Yeah. It that one's a deep one.
Yes.
It, like, messes with your head a little bit.
And it's, like, simultaneously understandable and not understandable at the same time. Like, it's like, okay, I get that it's been a couple years, like, a year and a half, and children grow quickly, but it's also, like, it's your kid, and, like, there's so much, like, psychological things you can deep into. Like, did the mom know, like, the rich mom actually know it wasn't her kid, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my gosh.
There's 100% lingering uncertainties about that case.
Yes.
I like that you picked one that I did because I picked one that you did.
Oh.
Black Eyed Children.
Oh, that was great, a good one,
episode.
Too.
Great episode. Mm-hmm. There were those two in a row. Gray Man, No Ma'am. And the Black Eyed Children. Like, I think we recorded them the same day. That was such a spooky recording session. And, like, full of laughs. That was probably one of my favorite actual, like, recording sessions together.
Actually, it would have been the Lost Colony of Roanoke and then the Black Eyed Children.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because I just made that up then. You record
first.
Well, okay.
Because the one I recorded with you is the... We then recorded the two episodes of the Lowry Mansion.
Oh, okay. Well... Oh, that's right. Okay, how about this? I think I was superimposing if they were recorded together. They would be really fun. I those are, like, two of my favorite episodes, and they're, like, back-to-back, so I, like... I'm like, wow, that was a good back-to-back. Those are a really good couple of weeks.
Those are.
okay, but that's my something... That's my something Southern.
Well, thank
which
you.
Which is just about us.
Yeah, I guess. We're Southern. I mean, it was also kind of spooky because you had us talk about the spooky episodes.
It was something us, really, is what it was.
And we are spooky and Southern.
You're spooky, I'm Southern.
Okay, well, Robin.
Yeah.
Do you want to know about the San Fernando Cathedral?
Damn it.
Well,
I was really hoping to cover that one.
Well, Robin, I told you a little bit earlier, there's actually not a lot of information out there about this one.
I think that's why I didn't cover it. Yeah. I wanted to, like, find out stuff and cover it. All right. Yes, I want to know.
Okay. So the San Fernando Cathedral is in San Antonio. Oh, my God. I can't do Spanish. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What were you trying to pronounce?
San Antonio? That's Spanish. It's in Texas, right next to the border.
Okay.
There's no way that's not Spanish. It says San.
I'm guessing it's like St. Anthony or something? Am I getting that right? Am I getting that wrong? I don't know.
But San Antonio, Texas has the San Fernando Cathedral, and it is the center of the town, and is the oldest continuously functioning religious community in the state of Texas.
Oh, cool.
It's also one of the oldest cathedrals in the United States, and it's listed on the National Register of Historic Places.
They got a lot of places.
Yep. It was founded on March 9th, 1731, by a group of 15 families.
That really is old.
Yes. Well, that was when it was founded. It wasn't done being built until 1750.
That's still very old.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I think this might be the oldest building we've covered.
Really? Because it's before United States.
Yeah.
But basically, they were... this 15 group of people, the King Philip V of Spain was like, hey, come from Canary Islands, where you live and have a family and have a village, and I have another village in Texas. Well... I don't know what they called it back then, but in the
probably
new world,
not Texas.
I have this town that you can come to, and we're going to call it San Antonio, and you're going to build the church there, join the community. It'll be a lot of fun. And so the 15 families say, okay, we'll do it. And they appear, and there's no one there. There's nothing there. There's not even a single building. And so it turns out the king lied to them and was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to build the town. So...
Sneaky.
Yeah. So that group of 15 people...
15 families or 15 people?
15 families, yes. Okay. Sorry. They built the town.
That's a tall order for 15 people.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that the families were rather large families and maybe they, like, found some other people to come. But, I mean, they were colonizing the area.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, I Ghost City Tours phrases it really well, so I'm gonna like full on quote them. It's edited for length and clarity, mm-hmm. but the cathedral was named after the 13th century King Ferdinand III of Spain, who is largely responsible for creating an atmosphere of peace among his Christian, Muslim, and Jewish citizens. Ferdinand III was canonized in 1671, and so maybe we can imagine that the early Spanish settlers of San Antonio saw a similar sort of peace in the New World. The peace that they ultimately achieved was thanks largely to disease and war.
Wait, what do you mean exactly?
Like, they ended up getting peace in that town,
mm-hmm.
but it was thanks to the disease that they brought over and warring with the neighboring.
Okay. So they sought peace, but they did not bring peace.
Right.
Gotcha.
And okay. The peace that they got was because, well, they killed everyone that was there.
All right. I gotcha.
Also, I want to mention that this was right next to the Alamo. If mm-hmm. remember the Alamo, you know? And from what I can tell, I haven't studied the Alamo.
I haven't either.
But from what I can tell, the version of the story of the Alamo that we are told is very patriotic
mm-hmm.
and might not be the most accurate telling. And so a lot of the times they basically worship the Texans that defended the Alamo against the Mexican army.
So it's a very, we're hearing it from, yeah, very,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe the Mexican army might have been trying to take back the land
mm-hmm.
that was stolen from them, but they're the villains in the story that I've been told. So.
Yeah. The winners write the.
Yeah.
The winners yeah. write the histories.
But the only reason I mentioned the Alamo specifically is because during the Battle of the Alamo, during the Battle of the Alamo, the cathedral was the location where General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, on the Mexican side, hoisted the flag of no quarter, which started the siege.
Mm-hmm.
And so also those who had died defending the Alamo are interred at the church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the church was planned to be the center of the city. Everything would revolve around it. Like I said, it was built between 1738 and 1750. It's been built on since then, but the reason it can still say it's the longest standing church or whatever is because the part that was originally, it was just a church, and that is now the sanctuary, and they built the cathedral around that. So the original church is still standing. It's gotcha. Just now only a part of the cathedral rather than the whole cathedral.
Okay.
And in 2003 is when they did a $15 million renovation project that did the restoration and stabilization of it. They built the new cathedral center with a cafeteria, counseling room, museum, gift shop, they just built off of it. And in 2011, there was another minor renovation to fix a couple of things that went wrong during the 2003. Mm-hmm. And the reason I mentioned the renovations is because, of course, renovations stir up ghosts. So, it's haunted.
What?
So, in 1936, construction workers were doing some small renovations, not yet that $15 million one, and they dug up bones, nails, and a couple tattered military uniforms near the altar of the church.
Okay.
People believed that these were the soldiers that fought during the Alamo.
Okay.
And many people say that this is where the haunting started. So in addition to that, there's a good chance that there are people buried in the walls of the original church. Because apparently in those days, it was common for the priest and the parishioners,
mm-hmm.
which I'm guessing are the people who attended the church,
mm-hmm.
apparently it was common for them to be buried within the church walls.
So I just have a question about that.
Yeah.
When you bury somebody in a wall, are you concerned about the structural integrity when you take things apart and then put things back?
I have no idea.
Why the walls?
Apparently, it was very popular for a very short time, but then people were like, Maybe that's not a great idea.
Then they had issues with the walls.
Yeah.
All right.
And part of that 2003 renovation, a lot of it went to rebuilding the foundation of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently it wasn't great because it was built in the 1700s, I think I said.
I can see some wear and tear happening.
Yeah. And they didn't exactly know, like, the physics of things back then that we know now.
I don't know. That's not a lot of... They did.
Yeah.
Gothic cathedrals were being built way before that.
Yes, but the whole thing with Gothic cathedrals is, like, they said... I think I saw a quote somewhere that said something like, they built as high as they could until it started falling apart, so that's where they stopped. Like, they were just guessing.
And that's a tried and true method. I'm just... There's some absolute amazing architecture from before that. Here's what I can believe. Knowledge was had, but not always specifically shared. And it wasn't like you could Google. So maybe these 15 families, maybe they didn't know the physics. But I'm saying there's some really great architecture before this time. And I'm just, for some reason, that is my hill.
You can have that
hill. Thank you very much.
So it's very likely that there's a few spirits haunting around this area, regardless of what my next statements are, just because the people buried in the ground, people buried in the walls, the ashes interred there. Also, apparently, San Antonio is a fairly haunted place with a few hotels, railroad tracks, and historic buildings claiming to be haunted. The Alamo itself is apparently very, very haunted.
I can see that. I'm just thinking about, like, San Antonio having a tourist website where, like, the headline is, quote, San Antonio is a fairly haunted place, end quote, from Haunted Hospitality, Zoe. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Though I do have to say, it was kind of really interesting. So, I was Googling. So, usually whenever I Google these things, I type in the place, and I get the history of it, and then I go up to that Google search bar, and I just type in ghosts.
Yeah.
And then I get a new set of links, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to the website of the cathedral, you know how they have, like, home, about us, our story, history, you know, like that? Yeah. They have tabs. None of them say ghosts or anything like that. But they do have a page about the hauntings. It's just not linked to anywhere on the main page.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so they acknowledge that people say it's haunted, but they don't.
That's not, like, their big storytelling thing.
Right.
Yeah. Can't mess with the brand, Zoe.
So let's get into these ghosts. Many people say that they have photos of orbs that they didn't see in real life, and other people say that they have seen orbs but weren't able to get a photo of them.
Can I tell you where I land on that?
We've talked about orbs.
Okay.
We don't believe in photo orbs.
No. Yeah. But I think if you see a flying ball of light, that's cool.
Yes. Yeah. So, apparently, skulls will, like, push their way out of the cathedral wall while you're walking by, which is terrifying. So I've seen them described as skulls. I've just seen them described as faces. And then one website said they're gaunt faces or skulls. So I'm assuming, like, skull-ish. And maybe, like, the wall becomes the skin. But yeah, so just, you can be walking along at night usually, and just, you'll see skull just coming out the wall, looking at you, screaming at you, silently screaming.
Oh. Well,
Yeah.
That's less creepy.
That is less creepy. But people believe that's the spirit of people, the spirits of people buried in the walls.
I'm inclined to go with that line of thinking.
There was one lady who, like, submitted a photo being like, you can clearly see an apparition of a skeleton on this wall. And I looked at it and I'm like, I don't see a single thing. Like, I literally, like, pushed my computer away from me, like, sat all the way back.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see a thing. So I did not include it here. But so this next one is pretty interesting, and to me, honestly, probably the most interesting part of this. So visitors have seen a white stallion, aka a horse, galloping. I just want to make sure. galloping across the front of the cathedral. And this is really interesting because apparently in 1749, there was a disagreement between the Apache people there and the Spanish settlers. And when it was resolved as a sign of peace, they buried a live horse in the village square.
Why did it have to be alive?
I don't know. I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then apparently they immediately started fighting again anyway, so the horse's death was in vain. But, like, the fact that that happened, and then now people are seeing a white horse galloping in front of the cathedral. And, like I said, they don't exactly lean into the whole haunted thing. Mm-hmm. So I doubt that they're, like, paying somebody to, like, let their horse run across. You know, I don't think that's happening.
I really don't think that they're doing that either.
And I feel like if you saw a physical horse, you'd be like, what's that horse doing? But if you see, like, a ghost horse, you'd be like, oh, a ghost horse.
I'm following you.
Thank you. So people mention shadow figures quite a bit. So there's two subcategories of this. One is you will be in the room and there will be shadows moving in the corner that aren't necessarily human shaped, but they're moving in a way that suggests that there shouldn't be anything. Like, there's nothing in the 3D realm moving that would cause that shadow to move.
Okay.
So
I got chills.
That's kind of creepy.
That is.
And the other one is, like, people will see shadow people, like, out of the corner of their eyes, walking down hallways that they pass, but then they back up and there's no one there. They'll see shadow people, like, walking upstairs. Like, there's this, like, little balcony area, like, interior balcony. And they'll see shadow people up there and they think that they're just, like, watching the mass or wedding or whatever. But when they look up again, they're gone, you know, that sort of thing. And then this is, like, the only first-person story that I could find. This one visitor was on a tour, and I couldn't tell if it was a shadow person or a person, or just a normal ghost. But just a normal ghost, sorry. The visitor was on a tour, and they were listening to a guide, and she noticed a strange man following the tour. She kept an eye on him as he followed from the back. So they were in the front of the church and he was behind them, and they go to the back of the church and he's, like, following them all the way. And then they turn around to go back to the front of the church and he disappears. Just gone. And she said he was wearing an all black clothing that was in the 1700s or 1800s style. And she had initially thought he was, like, a tour guide that was, like, dressed up or something.
Yeah.
And joining the group because his tour got canceled or whatever. But then he, like, straight up disappeared. And then she was like, did anyone else see that? And there were a couple people who had seen it, him disappear. And so that's why I was like, if she mistook him for an actual person, I don't know if that was a shadow figure or not.
I'm gonna assume probably. Did she say shadow figure at any point?
Mm-mm. But it was, like, always coupled with the talk of shadow people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I feel like that was my interpretation of that as either person or ghost.
Person or ghost. Got yeah. it. I actually fully understand what you mean by that.
I too, walking through what I had been previously told was a haunted space, saw a person in an old military uniform. And I assumed ghost, but it turned out when they brought their phone, it was a person.
Yes.
But when I tell you, I was freaked out.
That's when you were in Charleston, right?
Yeah, that one time.
That one time, the only time you were in Charleston.
The only ever time, yeah.
So people see shadowy figures in the windows, too.
Yes.
And many of the shadows seem to have hoods drawn over their faces. So that's, like, remember when I was talking about shadow people in the Haunted Hospitality's Guide to Ghost Hunting?
Yeah.
And I said that the, like, teenage son of the Hat Man was the Hooded Man. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people see, like, a hooded figure. But that could be the monks. So there are monks that will show up in the back of the cathedral.
Like ghost monks?
Ghost monks, because they appear or disappear at will. And,
well,
like,
that would do it.
They're usually wearing hoods. So it could be just, like, so there are clearly monks when they're behind in the back of the cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
But when they pop up anywhere else, maybe they aren't as attuned to that space, and so they have less detail, and so they look like a hooded figure. I don't know, but those are the monks. And then on Halloween in 2007, one visitor was recording an area, recording just a tour, and he was focusing in on this marble sarcophagus that's in the back. And many people claim that it's ghostly cold to the touch, but Robin, if you know anything about marble, is it typically stays a little bit cooler than the ambient temperature.
It does.
Yes.
It could just be marble.
But while he was recording on the recording device, I don't know if it was a recorder or it was a cell phone. I think in 2007 it would have been a recorder.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. He saw an image of a man kissing a skull, but like in real space he couldn't see it. And so that was really freaky.
Yeah.
And so I immediately went to YouTube and I couldn't find it.
Okay.
So.
That is freaky.
Yeah. Robin, that's all I could find on the cathedral.
Oh, okay.
So do you really want to say on a scale of 1 to 10, how haunted do you think it is?
Okay. I feel like this is one of those things where like going to it would immediately define how haunted I thought it was, just from the vibe. But from everything you told me, I feel... Okay. So, okay. Shadow figures freak me out. Hooded shadow figure in window, really freaky. There were some things... Like, okay, I feel like talking about the skulls coming out of the walls, I feel like that's probably people just seeing patterns in, like, the stonework and then letting their imagination and word of mouth fill in the rest.
Right.
I'm going a 5.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, honestly, I wanted to give it a 3.5.
Really? Okay.
But there's too many dead bodies. Like, there's too much death that happened around here, and it's too old. I feel like my minimum point has to be a 4. So, with all the shadow figures, I kind of agree. I would give it, like, a 4.5.
And again, it could be a simple thing of, like, you walk in there, and it's like, oh, wow, this place is definitely haunted, like, without even saying anything. Where it's like, oh, my score could go up, you know?
Right, yeah.
I'd be so interested to see, like, how the scores... We should make a sheet sometime. It would be so interesting to see how the scores would potentially shift or, like, how we feel differently about places if we were to visit them. Because it could be totally, like, some of them maybe we were really freaked out by that were like, yeah, this is not haunted. No vibes. And it could be the opposite in some other instances.
Well, Robin, I didn't want to end the episode there with a rather unsatisfying end. So, I want to tell you a little bit about La Llorona.
Oh, I wanted us to cover La Llorona. Okay, cool.
So, I did do the research to this before deciding to add it, because I didn't know. I honestly was going to do this as a something spooky. I think it's a little too long for something spooky, but it's not long enough for a full episode.
So it fits into our medium category, which we did for the Southern folklore one?
Yeah,
kind of. So tell me about La Llorona.
So La Llorona, which is also known as the Weeping Woman in English, and I'm going to focus on it specifically in San Antonio. So if you do want to go more, like maybe if there's more research out there, we can find it. But basically... it's said to haunt multiple regions and areas, so La Llorona is kind of more like a cultural thing rather than an actual ghost with sightings.
Oh, totally, yeah.
So the original story of La Llorona is, well, there's variations, but the basic one is that there's a woman with two children and a husband, and her husband decided to leave her for a younger woman. And in a fit of rage, she drowns her children in the river to get revenge on her husband. And upon seeing her children's dead bodies getting washed away down the river, she is immediately overcome with guilt, grief, and regret. And she dies of heartbreak along the river after searching up and down for her children's bodies because they get swept away. Her spirit is now seen wandering up and down the river looking for her children, and she's crying the whole time. And she's usually described wearing a long white dress, which is pretty interesting to me because white usually symbolizes innocent.
Yeah.
But she literally just drowned her children.
Yeah, it is this like odd juxtaposition. I always, in some ways, she is like a, because Women ghosts in, like, white dresses is a very, like, it props up a lot, but La Llorona is very specific, but it, like, she could be classified as a lady in white.
Right.
Which, I mean, what is a lady in white other than a ghost in a white dress?
Right, yeah. So, if we're going with a San Antonio branded one. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There is this creek right outside of San Antonio called the Hollering Woman Creek. And the origins of the Hollering Woman Creek, the name of it, is unknown. But there's three stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple stories with... There's one story with variations, and then there is a third story. Second story. Whatever. I'm going to tell you three of them.
All right.
So, in the version of the story that is said to happen there, there's two main ones. The first one is a pioneer family is living near the banks mm-hmm. of this creek. The family is attacked by natives... And the mother sees her husband killed brutally by the natives. So in an attempt to save her children from a more painful death, she drowns them in the creek nearby.
Okay.
However, stricken with grief at losing her family, when the natives come to kill her, she begins screaming a sorrowful and inhuman yell, bellow, holler. And the screaming is enough to scare away the natives.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story kind of like skips over her death. They don't say how she dies, but it does say that her spirit is seen walking up and down the creek bank, sobbing and crying for her lost children. And so I don't know if like she did that and died kind of the same way as La Llorona, where she just ended up dying of heartbreak or fatigue,
mm-hmm.
or if she moves on with her life, but then when she dies, she comes back, her spirit comes back.
Gotcha.
So there's a second iteration. Oh, in this story, the neighbors hear her screaming, and they're too afraid to help. So mm-hmm. instead, they just name the creek after her moment of grief.
All right.
Now, the other story is a pretty similar story because it's La Llorona still. It says that she had just given birth to a child. A woman has just given birth to a child, but the husband says that he doesn't want the child, whether because he was a lover, because he found another woman, or because he's just not interested, or if it's because her child is the product of an affair.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever reason, he doesn't want the child, so the mother drowns the baby and dies from postpartum complications.
Okay.
But her spirit comes back and she's looking up and down for, well, oh yeah, while she's giving birth, she's yelling and screaming and hollering, which is it becomes the Hollering Woman Creek, and her spirit comes back and walks looking for her baby.
So all of these are tied to motherhood and grief.
Yes. And then the last one is not about La Llorona at all. It's the creek name might come from a farm wife who had a voice that carried, and she would always holler at her family when dinner was ready and all the neighbors could hear it. So that's
funny.
Yeah. So the thought of La Llorona is that she will steal the souls of living children
mm-hmm.
and is used as a threat by Mexican mothers against misbehaving children. And the legend also says that if you see La Llorona, you will die within a week.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think I knew about that second part of the legend.
Mm-hmm. And as far as I could tell, in doing a little bit of research, I couldn't see any, like, buddy saying, oh, I saw La Llorona at the Hollering Woman... What is it called again? The Hollering Woman Creek?
Hollering Woman Creek.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't have. They would have died a week later.
There you go.
That's the explanation right there.
So that is my... Are my stories, I guess.
Those are your stories.
Those are my stories, Robin.
Well, thank you very much for sharing.
You're welcome.
That reminded me, we should, like, do a special sometime just, like, about, like, stories that are meant... Old stories that are meant to make kids not go out. And, like, yeah. Old stories meant to make kids behave. We would get a lot out of it.
Yes, 100%.
All right, everybody. If you liked today's episode, please like, subscribe, review, tell a friendo, and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/hauntedhospitality. For only $3 a month, you get a new episode from us.
Yes, and it comes out on the 13th of every month because we're spooky.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see my sources for today's episode, you can head over to hauntedhospitality.podcast.wordpress.com. That's hauntedhospitality.wordpress.com. If you have your own spooky story, if you've seen La Llorona and you're within that week period, write to us at hauntedhospitalitypodcast@gmail.com. Or you can slide into our DMs because that'll probably be quicker as you're about to die.
Yes, we are on the interweb. You can find us on Twitter at Haunted Host. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Haunted Hospitality. We hope to see you there.
Stay spooky.